Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Let us praise the Lord. Anytime, any place, anytime and anywhere. Amen. Because he deserves all praises. Amen. It is nice to be here. And thank you, musicians. Thank you for your service. So, the oldest guy in the church had to preach to the younger ones. Huh? And the ugly one to the pretty ones, the pretty flowers. Amen. So we're going to try to impart some of that old wisdom. See, the older we get, the wiser we're supposed to get, right? Amen. Trying to help you in this journey of life. Because it's not an easy journey. It is very complex. Sure. Sometimes difficult challenge and sometimes situations. So we can help you in any way for you to face the future. Uncertain future. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But we know who holds tomorrow. Amen. And that's all I need to know. Amen. So I have a lot, so I want to do a little teaching. Sometimes I am more inclined to teaching than preaching. We have a good preacher. I agree with you, our brother Pat. You know, so I might as well just do something a little bit different, just teaching. Andy too, Andy's a very good preacher. So the chef is off, and the sous chef, Eli. So I'm going to cook for you. So what the Lord has for you, I don't know, but God knows all your hearts and what you have needs. So I just open my mouth and let him fill it. Amen. And you just let God, meet all your needs. Amen. That you have. God knows what you have need of. So, but one thing is for sure, we're going to eat good. Amen. Amen. A 7-course meal. Huh? All right. As long as you can serve it in an hour, you like. Because it takes some time. Anyway, let us go to Philippians 1:27. Chapter 1, verse 27. Let me read, and then we can pray. One verse, because I have a lot of scriptures to read. So let's start with this one. It says, only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. Yes. That wherever I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of you, of your affairs. That you stand fast on one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith Amen. Of the gospel. Amen. So I titled this, Living Like Christ. Amen. Amen. Forget about the LLC. That's just me. I like to do little things to remember. Anyway, but Jesus said, I'm on my Father's business. Amen. So our business is to spread the gospel. Amen. And we are protected. We got limited liability. So this company's LLC means limited liability companies. So that means we are protected. Our house is protected. Our bank's account. If somebody decides to sue the company, the owner at least generally is protected. So when we go out there to preach the gospel and we do what we do, we are protected. Amen. And God will look after our houses and everything and all our affairs. So it just kind of, we are on our Father's business. And if he cannot pay the bill, might as well stay home. That's what brother used to say, he never liked to be pulling for money or anything, but because if God sent you, he has to protect you. So I like his company. You don't lose because Satan doesn't even can sue you, because today, they bring in charges to the church and people and pastors for preaching. Today is really kind of hard sometimes for some churches and some countries. But God will protect that house. Amen. Not this house, but he will protect that house that we have in heaven. Amen. Satan cannot touch that house. Amen. That's our property. Amen. So Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity that we had to speak to our young people. Father, I just will open my mouth and let you fill it with your word. You know what they have need, Father. I have prepared, I have studied, I have prayed, Father. I'm standing in this pulpit, Father, and I'm going to surrender this body for you to use it, Father. Because I'm weak, but you are strong, Father. And you know everything, Father. I just surrender my life, surrender this body, Father. Have your way tonight. Father, and bless your people. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen. So you can be seated. So what I want tonight to do is to use this verse to illustrate how can we live, you know, like Christ. Amen. Living like Christ. So the first thing Paul says is, only let your conversation be as become, you know, the gospel of Christ. Right. Now, conversation here don't mean like, you know, you sit down and talk to your buddy and you get the phone and you start texting. That's not the meaning of conversation, even though that's the translation they use. But conversation means your conduct in general, your body, the way you dress, the way you look, the way you talk, the way you move. You know, the way you respond, you know, that's what we're talking about, your conduct, your behavior. So let it be according to your calling and election, you know, the gospel of Christ. So, and not only the gospel of Christ, but according to this message that we believe. Live accordingly to those things. And he says also, so we're going to touch on that. Conversation. Also, we're going to look at one spirit with one mind striving together to unity. So everything you do as a congregation, we should be united. Amen. In unity. And the faith of the gospel. Amen. Not only the gospel, but the faith that we have in this message. Amen. That God sent the prophet. Amen. See, that's our faith. And that's what we profess. See? So, let me start with becoming like Christ. Let's start right there. So, when you become a Christian, you know, sometimes the devil, because he can do nothing if you become a Christian. I mean, if you accept Christ as your Savior. But he's not going to say, well, I lost him now. I guess I can do nothing else. No. He's a worthy adversary, so... But the brother said he either push you to the right or he push you to the left or too emotional or too what cold. See? Because he don't want you to stay in the middle. He don't want you to be balanced. So young people, you have to be careful because the beginning is that way. And Luke 10:17 says, and the seven return again with joy. This is an example saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us to thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as a lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now we stand in this rejoice now. So you became a Christian, don't you think now that you became a super Christian and you go out there and, you know, tear up the world and preach to everybody and your family and, you know. So don't become a super Christian, but just, you know, act like Christ would act. Live like Christ. He made himself of no reputation. You know, he took a form of a servant. So when you become a Christ, you know, and you're starting, that is the way you should start. You know, don't be too much to the left or too much to the right. But he says over here, now we stand in this, rejoice that the spirit are subject unto you, but rated because your name, this is what you got to make sure, that you are one of them. Amen. Your name are written in heaven. So you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, so as our pastor been talking about, being filled with the Holy Ghost. So that's the next step, right? justification, sanctification, and filled of the Holy Ghost. So don't be happy just to be saved. But we got to go all the way. We got to continue moving. Because you need to know that you know that you know that you are one of them and you are chosen before the foundation of the world. And then Satan cannot move you from there. See, Satan wants some time to play games. Now, Brother Branham said in the pastor's vision, see, a road is built a way, a good road is built. The highest part is in the center because it led all the trash off to both sides. That is, when a man really comes to Christ, he got his eyes centered on Christ. If he's a little bit emotional, or he will be fanatic. If he's a little bit cold, then he's in the other side and be just a cucumber over one side. See? He is intellectual. But the main thing right in the middle of the road. So when you start walking with the Lord, start living like God, stay in the center. Do not go left and do not go right. Focus on Christ. And you say, but what does it mean, stay in the center? Well, we're going to go in the middle. We balance. But he says, amen, and knowing enough, keep yourself under obedience to the Spirit. So we begin doing that. Being obedient is walking in balance, in the center. So if the word says it, do it. And if the word don't say it, don't do it. Amen. You know, people, because sometimes, you know, we get so wrapped up and we get so... sometimes, you know, it's just like you get saved and then you're all excited and, you know, and you can go to one side and get too emotional, or you can get too afraid, like, well, I better don't do this because if I do this, they're going to look at me, or I better not shout or raise my hands, or, you know, and you get kind of shy. Well, you're shy already to begin with, but you don't have to be shy. We're going to touch on those things because I know our pastor will tell you, when somebody come and said, you know, I almost shouted, I almost ran. Yeah. And then the answer is, well, what didn't you? Yeah. Because sometimes we think, well, I don't want to be said that I'm a fanatic. Sure. So, see, that's another strategy of Satan. Sure. See? He makes you afraid that you don't want to go too far this way or too far this way. But then he used that also to scare you not to do it at all. Sure. But there's a balance to all these things. Yeah. Amen? So, obedience to the Spirit, to move just as the Spirit moves, not still or not after, just in the Spirit. So don't go ahead and don't stay behind, but as the Spirit leads, you move. Yes. That is walking in the center. That's easy. If you pray and you always read your Bible, that's what Brother says we should do. A Christian will do that. And then be led by the Spirit. We need to be like a stable Christians. You know, Christians that we walk in the middle of the road. James 1:6 says, chapter 1, verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that waver is like a wave of the sea, driven by the winds and tossed. And he says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So you want to walk in the middle because you want to have a leg in the left and one in the right. You can't. You know, we walk in the middle of the road and we want thought in mind. And that is the word of God and to please God. See, double-minded man is unstable. That's why sometimes, you know, we want to use people at church. I'm not talking about this church. It's just an example. But they're not stable. Because sometimes they come, sometimes they don't come. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't do. How can you depend on somebody and give them a responsibility? So make sure that you are stable. And we're going to talk about a little bit of that. Because Brother Branham preached perseverance. I want to explore this a little more. Now, Brother Branham says, now, this morning, we want to talk about faith. Now, my subject this morning is perseverance. Perseverance means to be persistent to make a goal. Now, if you are persistent, you know, make a goal, then you want to meet that goal, whatever it takes. Okay? That's what it means. Now, a person that is persistent, you know, it has a plan. You have a goal, you have to have a plan. You know, my plan is that when church is open, I come to church. And I want to be persistent. Because Satan will try to say, well, oh, you're tired today, you got to work tomorrow, then they get too late, and blah, blah, blah. See, and that's a tactic of the devil. See, but you have to be persistent. That means that you want to fulfill, you know, your promise to God, and God will fulfill your promise to you. But however, what I'm talking about persistent, when you make a goal, you see, is the substance of things hoped for. Faith, he says, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. So, being persistent. The second thing he says in perseverance, again, I pull up a for this quote. Men of all ages has faith, and what they are trying to achieve has been perseverant. No matter what you are trying to do, you got to believe in what you are doing. The reason I'm here is because I believe in what I'm doing. And Reverend says, when those doors open, I'm persistent. Because I have a goal. Heaven is my goal. And I want to make it. Amen. So you have to be persistent, young people. This is not like, you know, today like this and tomorrow like that. And today I do, tomorrow I don't. That's been unstable. You stay in the center. Be persistent always. Now Satan is going to try to pull you to the left. And he tried to put you to the right, and well, you got too much homework. Well, then you had the whole week to study. Now you went on to Saturday and Sunday to study, you know. You got to be persistent. You know, you want to make it to church, you figure out the way. But the man says again, now, we are finite. Okay. God is infinite. We can say something this year, and maybe even tomorrow have to alter, to change. Because we are not too sure, because we are finite. We are just presuming. And to presume means to advance, to adventure without what? So either we are sure that God said it, and I do it. If not, we are presuming. To walk in the center is not to presume. Either you have to be sure that God spoke to you, and what you do is what the word says it is, and be obedient to the word. Amen. Presuming is advancing with our authority. Yep. Amen. So when you have to make a decision, which way are you going to go? So you're going to obey God, the word of God, and be obedient. Amen. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And if you do it, it's presuming. So, in this battle that we face every day, flesh and spirit, we have to make sure we are obedient to the Spirit of God. Right. Amen. Then you are walking in the middle of the road. You are not presuming. You're not presuming. You don't want to presume anything. Amen. At all. If you don't have it all figured out, forget it. You know? And then you have people in church that will help you. Your elders, your pastor. You know, should I go to that meeting, to that camp? Well, you want to go. Your body, you know, your body wants to go. But something in you, I don't know. Well, talk to your pastor and ask him, what about this camp? I'd like to go to that camp, and I don't know much about it, but it sounds good. What do you think? Well, the reason you don't ask is because you want to go. Because you don't mind the answer that the pastor want to give you. The problem is we don't do camps. You know, Christ says he went out of the camp. And that's the problem with camps. Sometimes they have their own camps. But your pastor is here to protect you. Actually, he is supposed to look after your soul. So I will not do anything if I'm not sure and I want to go certain place and certain meetings, I will find out first. And the best thing is talk to your pastor, not to your buddies, because he wants to go with you too. You want to walk wise. You know, as we just read, tread over serpents and scorpions. You know, you want to make sure that whatever you do, you are not presuming. If they sit down, Brother Van said, don't do it. It's a sin. So if you don't have it all figured out, ask. Your pastor is watching over your soul. See? And you want to be careful because he's responsible, you know. And he do a good job to try to keep you safe until you become all enough and receive the Holy Ghost and you can make, you know, the Spirit can start leading you. But because we are finite, we don't know everything. I don't know what's around the corner. So we pray. And if not, what I'm trying to say is ask. Don't be ashamed. Well, my pastor intimidate me. Well, why? Not this pastor. Maybe some pastors do intimidate. But he could be your best friend or your worst enemy. Depending how Satan tried to move you anyway. So be persevere, persistent. A Christian that is persistent in the word of God, God can use. You know, and in today's world that we're living, that is a rare character trait. Because look at churches should be full on Sundays, isn't it? But Satan has all kind of good things out there, football games and whatever other things. And then we have people that go the route. All family comes to town. You know, I told my family, and I tell you guys many times, they get together on Sundays. She's the only one on the family, the eight of them. And when they get together with their children, it's about 50 people going around, you know, 40. But I told them, if you do anything on Sundays or Wednesdays, I cannot come. Because I already know where I'm going to be at. I'm persistent. I want to be persistent. Now, Galatians 5:17 says, and I just read that one, not for the flesh. So this is going to be a battle, young people. This is not going to be something that is going to be easy. In fact, walking this gospel is not an easy thing. You're going to be challenged by Satan. Your pastor has been preaching about the fight. Before victory, we had to fight. And we want to fight to be obedient to the word of God. The second thing that Paul says, living humbly like Christ. Philippians 1:27 says, and let your conversation become worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, Philippians says, let the mind that was be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind. So he took, he could have a reputation if he wanted to. He was God. But he decided to come as a form of a what? Of a servant. He took that form of a servant. So we had to walk and live like Christ, humbly. Amen. So Philippians 2:5 says, because this is the only way it can be done, let the mind be in you which also was in Christ Jesus. What was his mind? A mind over humbly. Listen what Romans 12, verse 1 said. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body in living sacrifice. Amen. So did your Lord present himself in a living sacrifice? You know, everything that we do, young people, it had to be a sacrifice. This morning, to came to church, it was a sacrifice. You said, but it wasn't. Well, I remember when I used to have my family and to get them up in the morning, you know, and to get them all dressed up, and it was a fight, you know, to the end. Get out, man, we're going to church, I'm going to be late. And everything is a sacrifice. If it wasn't a sacrifice, I don't think it would be worth it. Right? If something is given to you all your life, you know, when you grow up, you're going to become, you know, softy. But we had to make a sacrifice in everything. To pray is a sacrifice. Don't you feel the fight when you want to find a time to reach your Bible and pray? It's a sacrifice. Because Satan is ready. As soon as you start going that route, as soon as you want to follow and be obedient, he's there to try to detour you. But it's a sacrifice. I don't, you know, when people say, well, it's Wednesday and it's going to be late, young people, and I got to go to school tomorrow, you got to make a sacrifice to come to church. God will bless you. As soon as you walk through those doors, Jesus already will bless you. You are blessed to be. But you're going to have to make a sacrifice. Offer yourself as a sacrifice. It says, beseech you therefore, mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, acceptable. Not just a sacrifice, it has to be acceptable to God. Jesus was the right sacrifice. See? He was tested. And he has no spots, no wrinkles. He was the perfect Lamb of God. So our sacrifice, you know, well, I'm going to give my tithe. Let me see. Well, let me use all this money this week, whatever I have left. You need to make a sacrifice. Get the 10% out first. And then if you cannot afford to do whatever you do, you got to sacrifice. See? That's a sacrifice. Everything that you do for God is a sacrifice. But he knows what you're doing. He knows that you love him. He knows that you desire to do his ways. So everything has to be a sacrifice. And God will appreciate that. Because when we come to church, and even our worship, is what the sacrifices of what? About me. You have to look at it with that mentality. Lord, I'm here at the altar as a living sacrifice. And I want to be acceptable to you this morning. So don't take it too lightly, your people. This is not just to come to church. Oh, it was a good service. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. Lord, here I am. What do you want with me? What can I do? Help me. Use me. Might as well, you made the sacrifice to be in church. Might as well get something. Amen. You made the sacrifice to sit down and pray and just knock, you know, seek, and God will answer you. But the sacrifice has to be made. I like what Brother Doug was saying about, you know, and the violin, you know, fight for the kingdom by violins. This is not a sitting down affair or, you know, you have to fight. Yes. I wish you don't have to, but if you really want it, I can imagine, you know, I used to be, when I was young, people, I wanted something, I would fight for it. And it wasn't even things about God. How much more now that this has to do with life. Life. There will be no victory unless there's a fight. Victory is not a talent or a gift. Victory, you have to fight for it. Amen. So, acceptable to God, that is your reasonable service. Here we go again. So, living sacrifice that is acceptable to God, that is your reasonable service tonight. So, if you want to serve God, then this is the way. Paul is saying you can serve God by being a living sacrifice, by laying out there and let God, let go and let God do whatever he needs to. Amen. And in verse 2 he says, and not be conformed to this world. See, don't copy the word. Don't fashion yourself about the word, you know, about out there. But be transformed. Let by the renewing of your mind. What mind is that? The mind of Christ. That's what I read. At the mind of Christ. And that is when you get the Holy Ghost, you get the mind of Christ. And then he starts shaping you and molding you. And it's going to be a sacrifice, but if that's what he wants, whatever he wants, that's what I want to do. Because I want to please him. That you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Surrender your life to the Lord. Walk in the middle of the road. You know, it doesn't matter who's pulling you to the left and who's pulling you to the right. You know, that's what he told Joshua. Stay in the middle of the road. Do not go left and do not go right, you know. Amen. Let's talk about unity, because Paul is making a plea to strive for unity. Philippians 1:27, he said that you stand fast in one spirit, in one mind, and together for the faith of this gospel. Amen. So this is unity. And Brother Branham says in unity, I'm going to let you read it and let Brother Branham say it. Notice, God's daughters, the church, the bride, is also a product of God and his word uniting. Amen. So you and God, you are a product. You are not separated. In the beginning, it was Adam and Eve in one body. So you are part of him. And without you, he's not complete. The Holy Spirit uniting in a body of flesh. He says, and produce the Son of God. So that's the purpose. He's trying to reproduce Jesus Christ in your life. And that is a high calling, your people. And it takes a journey. This don't happen overnight. It takes a journey. It says, the Spirit in the body of flesh, it produces the Son of God, a product of the righteousness of God. As our brother was saying, this is all God doing. Yeah. Yes, it is. This is the goodness of God. Amen. In our life, he says, and in the last days, today, as we are told, and it was in the days of Sodom, the bride will be united by the word of God made manifest in flesh. Says, the bride will be united by the word of God made manifest in flesh, the Holy Spirit sealing them into God. Your pastor was talking about the Holy Spirit and the sealing last week and last Wednesday, and sealing unbelief out on the outside. As he said, if the life of Beethoven was in you, you will live like Beethoven, right? And if the life of Hitler was in you, you live like Hitler. And when the life of Christ, here we go, the life of Christ, that's what we're preaching about. When the life of Christ is in you, you live like Christ. And the work of Christ, you do. And that will be, if Christ lives today, he will do exactly what the word said he would do today. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And the word says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why cannot this blind ecclesiastic world see the time that they are living? See? Eve caused all physical death by trying to inject some heresy of Satan into the world. And that's the same thing that happens to the church in Asia, Rome, by the taking of dogmas instead of the word. That's the same thing in the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, and the life spring for an each age, and they turn it down. That is the reason the Lutherans died when Wesley rose up and it was another age. The word come forward and they had to accept it or what? Or die. This is black and white. Either we're going to serve God, or we're going to serve the world, but you cannot be in both sides, young people. Because it's death. Now, you're not going to die physically, but what I'm saying is there's no life there. That's not real. What you think is real, there's something more real in the world of God than is in the world. Like our brother was saying this morning. He says, let's see what I'm up. Down. The reason the Lutheran are finally accepted die. That's the reason that the Pentecostals are dying now. Because the age is here. The word has been made manifest. The eagle time. The time of the word to return back. To restore the faith of the fathers back to the children again. And they are so united that they turn it down. And they ain't nothing but a spiritual death. Amen. Having a form of godliness and denying the power that they're going to change their life. God's body united as his bride being one. Him and Christ together is the Spirit working in the flesh of the church like it worked in the flesh of Jesus Christ. I tell you what, if Jesus Christ is not reflected or duplicated in my life, I will be disappointed. But I'm not going to be disappointed. That is my expected end. Because that is what I'm hoping for. I don't like this flesh. I hate this guy. I want to see Jesus to appear in my life. And he would. He promised he would do it. He promised that the Son of God will walk again, you know, in the bride, in flesh. So we got something to look for. Amen? Being one in Christ together is the Spirit working in the flesh of the church like it worked in the flesh of Jesus Christ. That's what we were talking last week when we were saying that the appearing of God and the coming of the Lord are two different processes, two different things. This has to happen first. Christ, the Son of God, needs to be manifested in flesh, unite, and then the coming of the Lord. So when you see, and I know we're going to see it, you know, always people look for signs. You want to have a sign? You know, keep an eye on yourself to see if Christ will come up on the scene. Don't keep your eye on your brother and your sister. Keep your eye on yourself. Because we will be like him. We will act like him. We will do like him. Amen. And I'm looking forward to that day when this guy is dead. Gone. Husband or wife is no longer two, says. Because the body is part of his body. Not twine, but one. They are one. A husband and a wife is no longer two, but one. And Christ in his body is one. And in the same spirit was in Christ is in the bride. And his body that unites them together with all the word and God living in there, himself manifesting it. God is living in you. Amen. In that office of the Holy Ghost. So you need a purpose. You need a purpose to be persistent. You need a purpose to be obedient. Let go and let God manifest himself in your life. Amen. Because that is what we all want. See? So that is the purpose he has called all of us. 1 Corinthians 6:19 said, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not of your own? You have been bought. I have been bought by a price."
Yes, amen.
I'm going to get into something in a minute. I hope I don't get in trouble, but you don't belong to yourself. So you don't have the right to make your own decisions and presume. You have to ask God always first. He bought you with a price for a reason. So you are accountable to him always. And then the next thing Paul talks about, worthy of the calling and election. Peter says, 2 Peter 1:10, "Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do this thing, you shall never what?
Amen.
If you know that you know that you know that you are one of them. And that you know that you know that you have the Holy Ghost. And that you know that you know that you had a personal experience with Jesus Christ. You shall never fall."
Amen.
In the beginning, Adam fell. But this bride will not fall. Amen. Why? Because he will not fall. So if you win Bob for a prize, let me leave this for a little minute. Then Paul continues saying, "Striving together for the faith of the gospel." That's the last thing he was talking about. James 2:26 says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works is dead." So, faith without work is dead. And that's worse, having no faith at all. To proclaim that we have faith, and we don't have it. Because faith must produce works. I told you, if you have a plan and you have no action, you're just dreaming. It's a nice dream, but it will never come to pass because there's no action. See? So faith produces work. And it's not only work that cannot be seen, you know, in the spirit. It's tangible. In the bride, the works of Christ has been done. Amen? And this is not an intellectual or a confessing that I have faith or have mental faith. That's not sufficient. Like I said, that is just having a plan and not action. You have a dream and you will dream on until. I hope God will wake you up. You know? So, faith obeys always the word. If we said that we have believed God, then we obey always the word. Amen? So, we saw Jesus that he demonstrated his faith by being what? Obedience. Obedience is a demonstration of faith. So, if you believe, you will do the work. If you believe, you will do the word, the work. I mean, how can a tree, you know, we just like trees. We know the Bible says that, you know, we're supposed to produce the fruits of righteousness. So if you have faith and no fruit, then, out of here. Anyway, faith has to produce. Or you will be fruitless. So if you said you believe God and you have faith, then show me your work. And that's why James said, you know, show me your faith by your work and I'll show you my work by my faith. Right. We're not talking about work like we do ourselves, but I'm talking about the work that was already predestined before the foundation of the work that God has called you to do. Yes. Amen. And faith understands temptations. See? And we not allow you to believe, consent to the lust of the body, you know, and slide into sin. With every temptation, the Bible says, if you have faith, with every temptation, the way will come. Amen. Because God will not let you slide in sin. See? God will not let you for you to be overcome by Satan. And that's what I'm talking about, that faith produces a separation between the word and the world. So it produces the ability to resist the devil and draw near to God. If we got that kind of a faith, and also faith controls our tongues. Be careful what you said, because you have the power of life and death in your tongue. Faith will control your tongue, what you said to your brother and your sister or anybody. Amen? So, we know that we have a lot of troubles and we have a lot of trials, but faith always be there. Amen. We need to be persistent and we need to be perseverance. Amen? And God will do the rest, you know? Like, it's just like me, I try to get from preaching tonight. But I say, okay, Lord, I just stand there. And here is like an instrument. You play me. I just stand there. But let you do what you want to do. Because he knows what he needs to do. So, one more thing I want to encourage you a little bit further here. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun the good work, it will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. So it is not you. Amen. In fact, you need to get yourself out of the way. Amen. And let God do and finish the work that he started in you. Amen. So to you, the only effort that you have to put into this equation is just to be willing and ready and be a sacrifice and let God use you. That's all. You don't have to figure, everything has been already worked out for you from the beginning of the world. All you have to do is just, Lord, here I am, use me. What do you want me to do? He has all the answers. So he said, God confident that he that started the work, and he will not fail. God cannot fail. Amen. So I know he's going to finish the work in my life. Because he promised to me. And Ephesians 4 says, and therefore the prisoners of the Lord, this is Paul saying that he's a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And what is your vocation? Some people want to be lawyers, some people want to be doctors, some people want to be trash collectors, I don't know. But what is your goal? It's to be like him. To be like Christ. Therefore, I beseech you to walk worthy of that vocation. You know, a vocation is when you go to school, colleges, it's a vocation, you know, you're trying to get a degree, right? To be something, to do something, to work in something. Well, Paul is saying the same thing. You have been called to a vocation. And one of these days, when people, you know, pass away, they say, well, he graduated. Because this journey ends when you are called. Amen. Amen. When he says you're ready, you don't, then he calls you home. Amen. So I'm 77, so maybe I need to be ready. The brother was talking about that this morning. We don't know when, we don't know how, but we don't have to be afraid. Amen. Because it's graduation time. Amen. Everybody loves graduation. Then he says on verse, with lowliness and meekness, you know, be humble. Mm-hmm. Like Jesus was. He was meek. He was long-suffering, you know. Be patient. Forbearing one another in love. He says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of one, of peace. If there's one body, one spirit, there is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. You know that your hope is the same hope I have. It's all the same hope. That's not different. Yeah. Amen. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in to you all. Like brother was talking this morning. He will finish the work. He's in control. All he wants to have is yield vassals unto him to obey. 2 Thessalonians says, 1:11, therefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. Amen. It's a high calling. And I'm not worthy, but he made me worthy. He's making me worthy of this calling. And fulfill all, not just partially or so much or so little, but all the good pleasure of his goodness. And we heard that this morning. I don't have to preach too much on that. And the work of faith with power. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thought that I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Amen. So I know my expected end. To be with him and live with him happily after. To exchange of a body. My hope is that I want to be like him. And I want to be changed from glory to glory to glory. And be changed. Romans 4:21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he is more than able to do it. So all he needs is vassal to surrender. And he will do the rest. Because he promised he will do it. I want to hear one more thing here. Therefore, the prisoners of the Lord in Ephesians 4, therefore, the prisoners of the Lord, I want to go back here, beseech you that you will walk worthy of the vocation where you are called. See, at one time we used to be a prisoner of Satan, right? And we was just like a puppet. Whatever he commanded, there we went. Whatever he ordered, there we go. You know? So now the Lord comes in the scene. And he saves us, and he redeems us, and he rescues us. But you're still a prisoner. You know that that hasn't changed. Some people think, you know, I'm free. Free to what? To do whatever you want? No. You were a prisoner when you were with Satan. You have changed boss now. But you're still a prisoner of God, of Jesus Christ. Because the reason I want to bring this, because I know some of you sometimes were prisoners for other places. You know, under the iron hand, so people want to control. And then you are free now. But you are really not free to do what you want. You're still a prisoner of Jesus Christ. The only difference is that what you could not do there for Jesus Christ, you can do it here. So what I'm trying to say is that you're not free to do what you want in the sense that, well, you know, I do this, I come back, I don't go, No. You're still a prisoner. So don't take your freedom as a liberty to do what you want to do. Because you're still a prisoner of Jesus Christ and you should do everything that he wants you to do. Usually what you couldn't do there, now you have the freedom to obey God, to follow him and do all his will. But sometimes we just kind of swing the pendulum. Well, I was a prisoner, and now I'm free. And now, I couldn't do that before there, and then let me do this, and blah, 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 but now I can do all that. Well, I was still not right, even though you were a prisoner, you know. So all I'm saying is, don't take your freedom as a liberty to do what you think. Just do what he thinks. Amen. Amen. So I hope I didn't get in trouble with that one. I just wanted to, you know, because sometimes that's the problem. You know, I'm free. No, you're just free to do what your other boss wants you to do now. That's all. Amen. So I said I was going to keep it short. So can we stand? So Paul tell us again, as we read, says, and let your conversation, your conduct, young people, become worthy of the calling and the election. You know, you're supposed to be a walking Bible. Your life should be a testimony. You know, you are the standard of God for this generation. You are a walking Word. Your life should testify of that. So let your conduct, wherever you go in school, you know, that people can see Christ, the Word, in you. Amen. Worthy of that calling and that election. See? And you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together in unity and in faith for the gospel. Amen? Amen. Let's see. I want to do something before I leave, because I know it's summer and we are going to be going, young people, different ways, and I do too. So I want to do something. I want you young people to come here, gather around here in the front. Don't be shy. Come on. I want to pray for you. So the Lord will keep you and protect you during the summer. You know, come on, come here. Sisters, come in this side then. Come on. Don't be shy. I know you're not shy at home. I know that. And at school even worse. Come on. And you guys help me pray for these beautiful flowers that we have in our church. You just look at how young, from the youngest to the... Let us bow our head. Father, we are so in love with you, Father. We are so amazed, Father, of the way that you treat us and the way that you love us and you care for us, the way that just like flowers, Father, you're always attending to us, our needs, Father, whatever we have, Father, you're always there. You will never forsake us. You will never leave us, Father. And Father, you are so faithful. Maybe we forget, but you never forget us, Father. We are your children, and you love your children. Father, in the beginning, the reason we are here, because you wanted to have a family. And here, Father, we are part of this family tonight. We got in together, Father, to tell you that we love you, Father, and we appreciate, Father, the things you have done for us. Father, but we're still here, Father. We're still, the fight is not over. Father, we don't know what tomorrow will bring, but since you hold tomorrow, we want to pray for these young people tonight. Father, as we are approaching the summer, and sometimes there's many activity and trips and vacations, Father, and then we're going here and there and everywhere. I just pray, Father, that the Spirit of God will hover over them and keep them safe, Father, and bring them back safe and sound, Father, wherever they go. And Father, use them, Father, as a light in the darkness. This world is going into chaos, Father, but use them, Father, to light the path to someone else that is lost out there, Father. Father, we pray that you protect their minds, Father. Father, the devil it will not stop, but you are in control. As our brother said this morning, he has a purpose, and it's your purpose to be fulfilled. He don't know that, but that's how bad it is anyway, because if I know I was helping God, I would stop. But he can't. He don't know what's coming tomorrow. He cannot create, and he cannot see the future. Father, but we ask you to protect their minds, Father. Protect their bodies, their life, Father. Don't let Satan, Father, touch them, Father. Put a hedge about them wherever they go, Father. And don't let that evil one, Father, come. Father, let them grow like a flower, Father, with a Savior smelling to you, Father, that you will be pleased with, Father. Father, we so appreciate this church all this year, Father, the way it has grown, and all this new generation that is coming up, Father. And if you tell, Father, they are the one that is going to carry the next this message forward, Father, because we are getting older, Father. So we are asking, Father, that as long as they are serving you, they're coming to church, use us, Father, the ministry, Father, to for you to speak to their hearts, Father, so they can grow, Father. They can grow not only physically, so they can grow spiritually, Father. So they can grow to a point that they can serve you, Father, that they can do the work that you have predestined them before the foundation of the world, Father. We so in love with you, Father. You are so awesome, Father. We your ways, Father. We are in love with your ways and the way you treat us, Father. We only destroy death, Father, with the things we do, but you are so kind to us, Father. So tonight, Father, we pray that this prayer will go wherever they go, Father, that you will always keep them and protect them and keep them safe, Father. And if you dare use them for your glory and your honor, Father, we don't know. This is the next generation, Father. And I know that Satan will try. Will try. But one thing we heard this morning, he can. Because God had put limits already. And he cannot go beyond those limits. As long as we are obedient to you, as long as we follow you, surrender and yield to you, Father, you will protect us, Father. You will keep us. We believe it, Father. And now, Father, as we return to our homes tonight, Father, we are departing from one another, but not from your presence, Father. Take everybody home. Raise our brother James too, and keep his family. He's over here. Keep his family, protect the family, Father, and him as he travels and go back. Just take him safe, Father. So, our pastor, thank you for the day of rest that he got. Because we need rest, Father. We are flesh, and we sometimes get weary and tired. So, Father, I ask for strength, for health, and for energy to continue this journey that you have put us on, Father. May your spirit be with us, Father. Guide us and lead us in all good things. It's my prayer. We love you, and in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. Thank you.